Gabbert hands the ball off, and up the middle goes Maurice, and there he goes with a big hole. He's on the run. They will not catch him. Maurice is off to the races. 15, 10, 5, touchdown Jacksonville. 59 yards for Maurice Jones, drew his first rushing touchdown of the season. He made it look easy.
This is Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week. With a voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst Jeff Luggeman. Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher. And Tony Boselli.
Now that's a cool cat.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank.
Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, the stage is set for a busy hour of Jaguars This Week. Brian Sexton along with Jeff Luggeman. Tony Boselli is here. So is John Osher from Jaguars.com. And of course, you're free to join us at 800-355-NFL1. You know, Loggy, when I heard about Maurice Jones-Drew at the Conk House, all I could think of was your admonishment to him, what, 2-3 weeks ago, when he was talking about how the media was overplaying the Justin Blackmon story. And I think it was just you and I that night. We spent almost the entire show just talking about the decision-making process behind that thought process. And then I hear that he's at the Conk House. And I, whether he did it or not, I'm thinking, man, how do you get yourself in that situation?
Well, I mean, it's a happening place. I've been there once, I think, myself. And
wait, you have a boat and friends in St. Augustine, and you've only been there once?
Yeah, it's a
he
young.
He hangs out on the boat.
That's a young crowd.
He is old. You know? I mean, seriously. Jeff is. Let me explain Jeff's routine. He's well over 40. He gets on his boat. He goes and fishes with his buddies, and he goes home, cleans them, gives the wife a kiss, and goes to bed. That's about the existence of his life.
Sounds like a what?
That sounds like a busy day to me.
Yeah. You know, look, it's a young crowd. It's a happening place on a Sunday. You know, probably not like your star player there.
But isn't there a lot
kind
of
atmosphere? But you know what? It's a free world. It's a free country. Yeah. You know, and we don't know if it happened or not. But I'll tell you my first reaction was. When I was busy doing other stuff, and somebody said, hey, did you hear about Maurice? I'm like, what are you talking about? And they told me what is alleged. And my first reaction was, one is that, no, that's not Maurice.
Right.
And my second reaction was, well, if it was Maurice, then the guy probably deserved it. But I'm not there. I don't know what happened. You know, it doesn't sound like Maurice. And look, the facts still got to come out. We'll find out more as, you know, this thing kind of plays out.
Well, listen, it doesn't sound like Maurice. Anyone who knows Maurice is not his personality to be out of control. Not that I'm sure, I don't know what Maurice's nightlife's like or what he likes to do or where he likes to go, but there's no, he's a very intelligent, under control individual if you ever talk to him or spend any time with him. So that, it caught me by surprise was the first thing. The second thing is, and I live in St. John's County, and the St. John's County Sheriff's Office has been good to me and great, but, boy, they messed that one up of coming out and saying he's been charged with battery and then hours later. And that's where I feel bad for Maurice. Now, whether he did or not, we'll find out, and we can judge him based on when all the information comes out. But you feel bad if he didn't do it being accused because that's the first thing everyone hears, and most people
– that's all they're going to hear.
Or all they might remember because they don't read the article the next day saying, well, actually, we made a mistake. He's not been charged.
But, you know, Gus Bradley told his guys when they left last Thursday, hey, be smart. Do the right thing. Don't get yourself in. The last person he probably thought he would have to contend with would be Maurice Jones.
But, Brian, if he did what his agent said he did, he was at the Conk House, which is, listen, I thought isn't there a lot of, I mean, families there hanging out on Sundays after the boat?
Sunday's a big party.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's a bunch of families. I mean, there's a lot. I mean,
it's not really a family hangout on Sunday afternoon.
But, I mean, I've had, I've never been. But
you're old and you're kind of living in a dreamland.
But
Sunday afternoon at the Conk House is a big party.
Okay, whatever it is. But my point is, there's a lot of people that are professionals around Jacksonville and St. Augustine that hang out there and boat there and have a good time and do nothing wrong. And Maurice's agent is saying is accurate, where he was at the Conk House, an altercation broke out with one of his friends, and he left. That's how you're supposed to handle it.
If that's the case.
If that's the case, as a coach, that's what I want my guy to do. I'm not going to tell my guys they can't go out on a Memorial Day weekend and hang out and enjoy themselves. But if they do, I want them to be smart if something happens. And according to Maurice's agent, we don't know if it's true or not, He was he walked away, and it was over.
So we're going to find out more.
And I just got a tweet from one of my law enforcement friends. It was not the St. I want to make sure it was not St. County.
St. Augustine Beach.
It was St. Augustine Beach Police. It was not
or St. Augustine Police Department.
St. Augustine Beach PD.
Okay.
It was not the St. Johns County Sheriff's Office. So to my friend,
we're going to call David Shore.
David Shore. I want to make sure.
Keep an eye out for a red pickup, folks. Yeah. St. Johns County.
Those are my guys. I mean, those guys at St. Johns County are they sit on my street because I've had some people speed down Ponte Vedra. And after chasing two teenagers down and threatening to do things that I don't want to be arrested for and yelling at people, the sheriff's office and David Shore and his people were good enough to take care of it and make sure everyone slowed down. So
they took care of you.
Well, I'm glad
they
took
care of you out of trouble.
But so it was the St. Augustine Beach PD. And I'm sure those are good people too. But, boy, that was not handled. You feel bad whether it was Maurice Jones-Drew or any person until they're charged and accused. Or until they're charged, you don't want to paint the picture that they've done something that they possibly couldn't have.
Well, yeah, as a new, you know, staff and as a new program, you don't like to have anything like this. You don't like to have the Justin Blackmon thing. You don't like to have this with Maurice Jones-Drew, which is, you know, your star player right now. But, you know, time will tell. We're going to find out in the future. And, you know,
find out what the truth is,
and
too.
Sometimes you may not find out what the truth is. You don't know. You know, so we'll see.
Well, supposedly there's a video. I don't know if anyone's seen this video.
Nope.
I don't know if it's a public video at this point. But
in today's day and age of cell phone cameras,
someone's got it. If he did it, I'm sure someone's got it. And if he didn't and he walked away, I'm sure that's clear too. So I hope for Maurice's sake that his agent's story is the accurate one and that Maurice didn't do anything and he kind of lives up to what we thought he would never do something like that. And we move on and put it to bed.
Well, the bigger picture remains he needs to be in Miami and he needs to be getting in shape.
Well, that's
and
a bigger issue.
Yeah, on the field, that's the bigger issue. And you get the feeling with this thing that in 6 weeks you may be looking back on this incident as who knows. But the bigger picture is he needs to be in Miami if that's where he's going to be, and he needs to be getting ready for the season.
Yeah, I don't care if it's Miami or Jacksonville or California or Texas or North Dakota or Canada, I mean, wherever. But – he needs to get into playing shape, which is going to be difficult. And Jeff's talked about it. Jeff's had the Liz Frank injury. It's something that's hard to come back from. It's painful. And when you get – if you get heavy or you get big, which guys tend to do when you get injured.
And he looks big right now.
And he looks big. It's hard to get into playing shape and lose that weight if you're trying to rehab an injury that makes it difficult to run at high volume. I'm not saying he can't run right now, but can he run at the volume he needs to get into football shape and to lose that weight? That's got to be a concern. I mean, if I was David Caldwell, Gus Bradley, that would be a concern of mine. And then, you know, when he's not in Miami and he's at the Conk House, that would frustrate me.
But you just said it was okay to be there.
No, my point is I have no problem with people going to the Conk House and having a good time. Now, if you're supposed to be doing something else, and I don't know what Maurice committed to or what he was told to do or anything else. And maybe you guys were privy to that conversation. I was not. But my point is if he was supposed to be in Miami and he was at the Conk House, that would frustrate me. Not that he was at the Conk House.
That's a weekend.
I mean,
do whatever he wants on a weekend.
Absolutely. I have no problem with that.
When I was his age, I was never in a bar.
We know you.
I mean, come on.
You still are. You just leave at like 8.
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
All right, enough of this conversation.
You're tired.
I'm tired, old and tired.
We'll let this process
play beard.
Out through the police. And we'll move on. Take a break, Joe.
All right, Brian. Now's the time to sign your children up for the Jaguars Kids Club. It's got its advantages. Members get a Jags Kids Club kit. It includes a welcome letter, membership card, certificate, T-shirt, invites to exclusive Jaguar events, even a birthday card from Jackson DeVille. For more information, just visit JaguarsKidsClub.com. Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. Hey fans, you can be rewarded just for being social at the new Jaguars Social League. Sign up, sync your social media platforms at jaguars.com/social league. You earn points for every time you post something Jaguars, and use those points to get some great prizes, including tickets to the game in London this year. By the way, Brian, you know the new ad campaign we have out, the I Am Section campaign? People I've are seen it. Downing it. We're going to open that up now to all season ticket holders. What you need to do, all you have to do is take a picture of yourself or whatever you want to take a picture of, depicting your passion for your section. Okay, go to jaguars.com/social league, upload the picture there. We're going to take all those pictures, put them on Facebook, and we'll let fans pick the ones they like. The top five with the most likes are going to be used in a billboard campaign around town. Cool. So that's pretty cool. So if you want to do that, go to jaguars.com/social league. All the info's there.
All right. Hey, can I use just a quick moment here to thank somebody personally? Yeah. You know, we are going to London this year, in case some people haven't heard.
Wow.
And
breaking news by Jeff Loggeman. We're going to London.
What do you need to travel? Passport, right?
Yeah.
I had a passport. I got one years ago. And so I got to go through the process.
Yours was long expired.
Yeah, it was expired. So I got to go through the process of renewing it or getting a new one, whatever it's going to take. And just wanted to thank Reggie at the Mandarin Post Office, because he walked me through the process yesterday. And
thanks,
Reggie. Was very helpful. And
you got to tell me when Reggie's working.
and got it done.
You got it filed. Or did they do it one day?
Well, see, I filled out and they have, 8,000 different forms with the U.S. Department of whatever. And so I got the one form filled out, and we're looking at it, and paperwork's all, you know, my new picture stapled to the thing, and he looks at it, and he said, let me just check everything or make sure you got it right. About to, you know, put it in the envelope and ship it off. And if it's been 15 years past your issue date, you have to apply for a whole new one. You can't use the form 883 or whatever it is for renewal. And he spotted that, so I had to go fill out the regular form for just getting a passport. And he took the time with me. And
so you haven't been out of the country in 15 years?
No. I went to the Bahamas a long time ago, and back then you didn't even – I mean, didn't need a passport.
Yeah, now you do. Not anymore.
Then you just needed a license and a birth certificate, and then went to another nice tropical island one time, and then that was it.
Brian, can I get a shout-out to my dentist while we're at it? I mean, as long as we're doing this.
Well, I wish you were giving a
shout-out.
Careful,
shout out knock those teeth out.
To your shoe salesman.
Yeah. I like my little shoes.
That hurts. That's not nice.
Go to Jaguars.com and look at Johnny O's shoes. Are they just – come on, John.
Kind of a cult following.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But anyway, it was great. So I'm looking forward
we are going
to having my passport stamped.
That's exciting stuff. What's his name, Reggie?
Reggie.
Thank you, Reggie.
You better go see him.
You got one?
He was just there.
I was actually out of the country about 2 days ago.
How many places you been?
I've been to about, I think, almost 25, 30 nations.
Really?
Yeah.
And they let you back every time?
Every time, barely. Barely, but they let me back.
Wait, you did NFL Europe. Didn't you have a passport then? That was not.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I went. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Never mind.
That was been so long ago. Amsterdam and
Amsterdam.
And Berlin.
Another world. So, hey, if you wanted to sign a quarterback, if you wanted to bring someone in to compete, if you weren't completely certain of your quarterback position, who would you sign from these two guys? Jamarcus Russell, who Adam Schefter was reporting yesterday, is getting a lot of attention from unnamed teams. Or LeBron James, who Joe Theismann seems to think could play quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Theismann came out.
Thought you were going to go Tebow.
Oh, dear God. By the way, thanks for breaking our month-long streak of not having a name said on this air.
I thought you were, too. But
no.
Joe Theismann had some curious comments that he basically said that he felt like he could train, and I'm going to paraphrase, basically train or coach LeBron James to be an NFL quarterback and good enough to basically win a Super Bowl. Something
like starting now, he thinks he could do that?
Yeah, like now. Which, listen, LeBron
Joe
James
knows better than that.
LeBron James is
have
a,
you ever met Joe?
I have met Joe.
He does not know better than that.
He knows better than that. He likes to hear himself
talk. No, he does not know better than that.
I'm not going to get in that
Joe
argument.
Joe lives in Joe's world.
Is that what they call Memphis these days?
Mm-hmm.
But he, very curious, and I actually saw something on ESPN where they're comparing how quick a release LeBron has throwing his passes to basketball players compared to, like, the quarterback.
That really translates, doesn't it?
I think it's asinine. I think it's...
Well, had he started in high school, perhaps.
Maybe.
Starting right now.
But, guys, wait a second. Maybe.
Maybe.
Because here, have we forgotten that playing quarterback has so much more to do than just if you're a great athlete or not?
True.
I mean, I don't,
I'm saying maybe if he had started 10 years ago.
You can be a great athlete and be a very good quarterback, and we've seen that. And you can be a really bad athlete and be a great quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen
and
that.
An offensive tackle.
Look at Joe Montana. I don't know if he was a great athlete.
Well, I know, but look at Tom Brady.
He's a great quarterback.
Has anyone seen Tom Brady, like, run at the combine and try to move? And there's a reason right. he was a sixth-round draft pick.
Now, pretty bad.
He was. They were wrong because he's a great quarterback.
Well, because he stands and only moves about 3 feet in any direction.
Right now, Peyton Manning, I would take my chances in the 40 with him. I mean, he's not a great – he's a great
quarterback. You against Peyton Manning.
I got new
in
hips.
The 40-yard dash. You think you could beat him?
I got new
if
hips.
You could see the sly smile on Vaselli's
face. Wake up.
And we thought Theismann was out of whack.
But I just think that's a stupid comment.
Do you really believe that?
No.
Okay, thank you.
As much as Joe Theismann believes he can make LeBron James an all-pro or whatever.
Hey, Michael Jordan could play baseball.
Yeah, that worked out well. The only reason he was on a double-A team is because his name was Michael Jordan. He hit like a buck 80 in double-A ball.
Yeah, he was below the Mendoza line, wasn't he?
Oh, he was, yeah.
You know, that's true.
But it's just a dumb comment. Listen, he's an up. Now, I would make the argument that LeBron James, with a little bit of work, could be a tight end in this league in about 6 months.
Sure.
Isn't that what they wanted Jamarcus Russell to do?
No, he's not going to. I mean, but LeBron James is an amazing athlete. He runs like a 4.5 or whatever, 40-inch vertical at 6'8". Could you imagine him playing tight end and the matchup issues that he would give people?
Can you imagine the Ronnie Lott of the NFL just going?
But that's not the NFL anymore, Jeff.
No, I know. I'm just saying, though, that you can still break a guy in half.
No, you cannot like you used to.
And playing tight end, there's a lot more to it than just being an athlete. You got to have the courage.
He probably could have been a wide receiver.
Yeah, but here's the.
You never know.
I mean, listen, I'm not going to say whether the guy's tough or not, but he looks tough to me. And Antonio Gates never played football and became a great tight end. The kid at New Orleans, Jimmy Graham, was a basketball player in college and played football late and became a very good tight end. I mean,
he started at age 14 and trained to be a football player. I'm he could have done something in the league.
Well, I disagree because I don't think Antonio Gates played football until he got out of college. I think
Marcus didn't. You know, same deal. So
I think there's certain I think there's certain athletes. Football is different. Football is not. If you're not a quarterback or certain positions, athletic ability and toughness, you can play the game because it's not as much of a skill game. Where baseball is a skill game. You have to be able to hit a baseball.
Hand-eye coordination.
I mean, and it's repetition. I mean, you have to be a great.
Muscle memory is a huge thing in those sports.
To be a golfer, muscle memory. Like, I guarantee you there's a handful of players in the NFL that given 6 months to train could play professional basketball. They're that good of athletes. They're that talented. They played some high school basketball. And they could get up and down the court and make things happen.
Well, how about a NASCAR athlete? Could he make the switch?
No. Now, some of those NASCAR athletes could to be jockeys because they're about the same size.
All right, so
I mean, if they could learn to ride a horse, couldn't they? I mean, they're not very big.
Russell?
Oh, you got to go.
Russell, I'm just curious. I'm just asking your opinion on the guy. He was the very first overall pick
in 2007. You would take LeBron James before Russell?
No, is there any interest at all? I'm not saying Jaguars. If you were GM of a team, would you have any interest at all in Jamarcus Russell?
Zero.
I think I'd kick the tires.
Somebody might.
Out of curiosity.
I ask you, not somebody. Some guts and conviction and say whether you or not.
Would somebody do it?
No, I'm just asking you. Would you? If you're a general manager of a club that needs help at quarterback.
No.
Okay, I've heard you.
No.
Now, I wanted John to get the answer. If you had a quarterback situation.
Get off the fence.
A young quarterback that you weren't sure about. An average backup. No. Okay.
What about you, Logs?
I mean, I'd kick the tires on him, but I'd have a hard time getting over the purple drink.
Yeah.
I mean, which is supposedly
was codeine and something
whatever it is. Yeah. You know, the addiction that he had. I mean, that.
Yeah, but a lot of guys get over. I mean, listen. There's a history of players in this league who got over addictions and became great players. I just don't think he was that good a quarterback. I don't think he should have been the first pick of the draft. I think Al Davis was enamored by him. I mean, you hear reports even back within that room, there was a large.
Yeah, but there was a lot of personality question marks with him.
That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't have made him the first pick.
That addiction kind of came into the forefront.
I don't think he's all that good.
All right. Well, that'll do it for this segment. We'll take a break for news here at the bottom of the hour, and return after this, Joe.
All right, Brian. Hey, you getting your Jaguars rewards? Well, sign up at rewards.jaguars.com and get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com. Jaguars This Week rolls on right after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Fanatics.com. I want to talk to the guys. Real easy to do. 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Out of town, just throw an 800 in front of that. Brian?
All right, Joe, about 22 minutes left in the program this evening. Jaguars off this week after the Memorial Day holiday. Back at it next week. And then the following week is the mandatory minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
And then, some workouts with some of the rookies and basically...
Yeah, you got, OTAs next week, 4 days, and then the mandatory minicamp, and then I'm not sure how the rules work.
Pretty much wraps up to that. The rookies will be around working out, but it's not
the
as
veterans,
extensive.
The veterans are gone
last day of minicamp.
But do you realize...
But can they still work out here if they choose to do so?
For a time, and then... And then there is a mandatory couple weeks where they can't be.
Some dumb rule that makes no sense.
I think that really needs to be addressed. You know,
that's idiotic.
Well, and you know, more. I think the example, John, and you wrote the article about Maurice about the amount of time that he's allowed to spend at the facility makes sense for him to go elsewhere because he doesn't have a time limit on the amount of time that he can be at a facility.
Right.
To me, that's crazy.
No, it's idiotic.
Yeah.
It's dumb, stupid. No one thought about what the game of football is when they made some of these rules. I mean, they didn't think about the players. I don't think the players thought of themselves.
Well, the players thought that was their leverage and that they were getting something.
No leverage. You think the owners care? I mean, I don't think that's – their game was how are we going to protect the overall, you know, the revenue sharing. And I mean, that was the key. Giving, you know, we'll limit your – 3 hours, okay, big deal. I mean, I don't think they were thinking of the ramifications because if you think about it from a player development standpoint, it's so short-sighted and dumb if the players fought for that because as a player, how are you going to get better if you cannot stay at the facility to work out?
Well, you couldn't talk football, Tommy.
Why can't I? I mean, great example, Luke Jokel right now.
Yep.
I mean, I think right now he's fine, but there's going to come a time if he wants to go sit down, even this, at the mini camps. Or the rookie minicamps, if he wanted to work on pass sets for another 30 minutes
can't do it.
With George Yarno, the coach, that's against the rules.
Right.
So here's a kid, if he wants to get better, he wants to practice, you can't do it. Well, that's dumb.
Here's the worst thing is that you got a new staff coming in.
It's dumb.
With a quarterback position that needs to get settled. A new staff comes in, they can talk Blaine Gabbert, Chad Henne all they want, but they couldn't talk football until a certain time period, you know, elapsed.
Several times in the last two off seasons, I run into Paz in early April. Hey, how you doing? He's like, well, it's great. I can go watch film, but I can't walk down and ask Duff about anything.
Yeah,
he sees something on tape. He's got a question about it, and he's got to sit there and basically take a note so we can talk to him in 2 weeks because he can't walk down to the hallway where Duff's sitting there watching the same thing and ask him a question about it. And it's just – as you guys said, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and I don't like that. And then you wonder how, you know, the draft talking about being moved into May. You know, how will that affect it? I mean, because now you're talking about moving everything back even farther to where you're not going to have really any kind of football activity probably until right before the draft, which would be maybe May. You know, so, I mean, that's going to change the dynamic even more. You know,
they haven't really said what they're doing. They're starting the new league year at the same time next year. So far, all I've seen is that it's the draft affected, but it's got to affect the schedule somehow.
Well,
and it's,
you're not going to want to schedule any of the OTAs until you can get all the players. You know, so it's going to change the schedule dramatically because you're not going to start OTAs before the draft and not have the rookies there.
I was told, and the combine's going to stay the same data I was told. So you're talking about a long period from the combine to the draft.
But that's what the league wants. The league likes the year-round year.
Absolutely. But then to Jeff's point, you're looking at the draft being over in a shorter time period to cram everything in between that and the start of training camp. So it's literally going to be a year-round.
You would have 2 months.
Right, you might have maybe
after
3 or 4 months.
You would have basically
4 weeks off.
You'd have 2 months. From the draft to basically the start of training camps.
I mean, think about it now, Jeff. Right. We're seven weeks away from training camp. 6.5 Mm-hmm. I mean, it's crazy. It's here. I mean, it has not. I mean, this thing is a, and I think you're right. The league wants a year-round calendar, and by stretching that thing into May, it eats up May, where really after April, you had almost a little bit of a dead period.
You know, the other thing
slid into June and July because there's no OTAs, there's nothing going on. You stretch it out.
You know what you probably worry about a little bit too, is that, you know, a college prospect, you know, when the season ends, typically he's training for the combine up until the combine actually occurs, which is in February. But then now you're going to have a window from February all the way to May to where the player's still going to have individual workouts. And he's going to be running 40s. He's going to be doing agility drills. So what is his training regime going to be from February now all the way into May? I mean, he's still going to be training for those type of drills that in which, you know, somebody comes in and wants to work them out, he's going to want to be prepared for that.
Yeah, Bill Polian mentioned this the other day on ESPN.
Yeah, he's not going to be training
for
a
combine
season.
Shape. And all of a sudden, you've only got now 2 months to turn around and be in football shape, and there is a certain amount of time they have to have off. So you're really limiting that. It's probably too limited already, and now they're just going to enhance that.
I'm kind of surprised. Or make it worse. I mean, I get why they want to move the draft.
Business-wise, I understand.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pragmatically, I'm not sure it's the best move.
No, it's too late. It's, as you guys said, it's 2 months before the start of the season.
355-NFL-1. Bill is in Arlington, our first caller of the night. Hello, Bill. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Enjoying the show. Hey, it was a nice segue into college. I'd just like to know from Tony and Jeff, my son's going to be a senior and has some good opportunities to choose from. Where would they have ended up if they wouldn't have chosen USC and Virginia? What swayed them to their final college choices?
Well, I'm not going to let me say this. I got a son who is a ninth grader who loves football and probably is probably going to have a chance, you know, God willing, stays healthy and everything else, to play college football. And what I already am telling him, go to a school that has the best academic opportunity for you, because if you're probably aren't going to play in the NFL, that's most likely you're not going to play in the NFL. So go to a great academic institution that will help you prepare, be prepared for the rest of life. And then if you're good enough to play in the NFL, even if you go to a great academic institution, they're still going to give you an opportunity to go play professional football. So that's my advice to them. I mean, I picked USC because it was good academic school, good football, and it was in California, and it was really good weather when I was there.
Well, I picked Virginia because it was a football powerhouse.
Virginia's a perfect example of a great academic school.
That's why I went there.
Yeah.
You know, and it helped too. I mean, I had a brother that was in George Welsh's first recruiting class, and my brother graduated high school in 82, so his first year at Virginia was 82, and then I was being recruited in the winter of 85. I graduated in 85. And so I knew what the University of Virginia was all about academically. I knew what it was about socially. You know, and so that's what I went to Virginia for. You know, I mean, did I ever think that I would play professional football? No.
No, but that's what you shouldn't have. You should. I don't think you should go to college as out of high school, because no matter how good you are in high school, the chances of going in the NFL are, I mean, not huge. And so, and I'm not going to tell you schools I wouldn't go to, because I don't want to hear the alumni and everyone call in. But there's certain schools that are great at football schools. But academically, if you don't go play in the NFL, what are you going to leave with?
Who did you visit?
USC. Stanford was one of my five, but I committed to USC
great
first.
Great
school. Colorado, because that's where I grew up. Michigan State. I don't know why Michigan State.
Why?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
And Arizona State, because I'd been to the campus with my dad going to
Frisco then?
No, probably. For spring football, spring baseball, because spring baseball's big. Mm-hmm. So we can go down and see the Giants and walk down the campus, and it was a cool campus. But really, I stepped on the campus at USC that night. I committed to go. I mean, that's where I wanted to go.
Yeah, I visited Duke, Virginia, and Georgia Tech, and then took a December visit to Virginia Tech because a friend of mine from our rival high school was taking a visit there, and we just kind of went. And I didn't go. I had no intention of going there.
Right.
You know, so I mean, I visited schools that were academic schools. Certainly, Duke is not one of them, and Georgia Tech at the time was kind of eh. So,
but I mean,
It's all about.
What are you going to do when you get done?
I mean, after college, absolutely. And that's getting a great education and making sure it's an atmosphere and a campus that he really likes.
And that was,
that's the first thing that I would tell him.
And that's why. And now, listen, and I think you have to, because there's a lot of great academic schools that have good football programs. And then the secondary thing is make sure you like the coach and you mesh with what they're doing and the staff and everything else like that. I think that's important as well. But, I mean, Jeff's right. USC went there. Great. It was a great football school, but also has one of the strongest alumni bases in California. I knew that if I graduated from there, that if I didn't play football, there would be opportunities to do a lot of things.
I opted against college athletics, much to the chagrin of many coaches.
And we're going to leave it at that. Joe, get us out of here.
All right, guys. But for the first time, the Jaguars have created a club dedicated to the experience of the female fan. That's women aged 18 and older. It's the Jaguars Women's Club. This unique program is designed to connect with and provide exclusive experiences for and engage the Jags' female fans through updates, special offers, events, and other great benefits. For more info, just go to jaguars.com/womensclub. Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. The Metro PCS call-in line still open, 355-NFL1, 355-6351, or 1-800-355-NFL1. Jaguars This Week rolls on with Jeff, Tony, John, and Captain Brian Sexton.
You know, before, thank you, by the way, for that. I appreciate that. Captain. He called earlier today, and I was working on my boat, so he's making
you
sure.
Have a boat?
I have a jet boat, a ski boat.
When did you get that, Captain?
Last year.
Wow.
Good deal. It's for sale, by the way.
I was going to say.
Aren't they all for sale?
You know what I found out what BOAT actually stands for?
Yep.
Break out another 1,000.
You know what the greatest 2 days of...
The day you buy and the day you sell it. Oh, I'm figuring all of this stuff out. But it was a good deal.
Unless you're logs. Logs, you know, good, man. There's a core group in this world that were meant to have boats. You're not one of them.
I grew up with boats.
I did too.
And I enjoy it. It's just, you know, when... things start leaking, you start thinking,
I went boating on Memorial Day weekend.
Where?
Jet skiing and boating on the up just north of the ferry, in the main channel right there on the, by Huguenot Beach on the sand right there.
Huguenot Park,
whatever it's called. It was fun.
We were just a little south of you in the Intercoastal Waterway. It was great.
It was fun.
Perfect weekend for
yeah.
it. Lots of boats.
Hope you're on a big jet ski.
Big jet ski. Yeah. Three person yeah. by myself.
Okay, we'll leave it at that. Hey, you guys, before Bill got on and asked about recruiting,
yep.
and you guys were talking about the way that the CBA has set it up for young players, for players, to be able to work or not work. So what would you do? I mean, if you've got young guys coming in, how would you attack it, knowing what you can't do?
Under this current CBA?
Right. Not what would you change in the CBA, because we all know that.
Well, I think...
How would you go around it to get what you needed done?
Well, you can't go around it.
Okay.
You got to work within the confines of what it is laid out before you, and I think Gus and his staff...
But I mean all the way around it. In other words, you can't go through it, go around it, and figure out a solution.
I will tell you
yourself.
One of the things that's happening, that all these training academies, mm-hmm. the one in Bradenton, the one where Maurice
making
is going
a lot of money.
To, yeah. I mean, they are making a living... based on what the NFL rules and guidelines are staying right now.
They might have been lobbying the CBA, I mean the union, to get the CBA as it is because their pockets are being lined.
They are making good money training professional football players right now because the professional football players don't have an option to go elsewhere. And, hey, I mean, good for them, you know, but at the same time, if one guy chooses not to go there and then he's going home and he's going to train, does he have – the safe facilities and management to be able to make sure that he is doing the right thing in a safe and effective manner.
But at the same time, you guys know you have to protect players from coaches who will imply you have to be there.
No,
there's not rules.
I disagree.
I don't disagree with you on that and that, hey, look, you still want to have some protection for some coaches that want to overdo it because Jimmy Johnson, back when he started, Tom Coughlin.
Right.
They all wanted to kind of overdo it because they felt that, hey, look, if I'm not going to do as much as I possibly can, then somebody else will, and they're going to gain an advantage.
Somebody's outworking.
But at the same time, you know, I go back to early in my career when they didn't have these rules, but we didn't have off-season conditioning. And so what was I doing? I was going to a local, you know, ironworks type of gym and lifting weights without qualified people to watch what I was doing. And then how did I do my conditioning? I go to a community college and run in a field. that was not exactly smooth, you know, or to the high school field, which, you know, didn't get access to it all the time.
Let me say something.
But, I mean, some of those conditions were not exactly the safest for some investments in the National Football League, which are surpassing now $60, $70 million.
I partly disagree with you, John, about you have to have these rules to protect the players from coaches. In the sense of, I agree with limiting the number of OTAs. Agree with that. Maybe cutting off, you know, you have to have 3 weeks off before training camp of however you want to do that. I'm fine with that. When you can start, I'm okay with that. I don't think you need to limit how long they're on the field. I think that becomes micromanaging. Because as crazy as Tom Coughlin was at times, we were never out there for 6 hours. Or,
I mean, you can have 10 OTAs, but when you're there, you can be on the field.
When
for
you're there, you can
hours.
Yeah, you can manage. Yeah. You have an 8-hour day to manage lifting and meetings and on the field stuff. Because if a guy wants to stay and work an extra half hour with the coach, he should be allowed to. And so I think you have to limit the numbers, limit the contact. I'm fine with all that. I think it's still silly because it's so subjective. Ending, start date, number, fine. But to start telling people how long you can practice, I just, even when we, listen, and Tom was the craziest of them all. During the regular season, they have rules of how long you can be on the field practicing.
Mm-hmm.
As crazy as Tom was at times, we never spent 4 hours on the field, Jeff.
No, three, though.
Well, that, but, okay, so it's a job. I mean, it's not great, but it's a job. I mean, if you limit the contact and everything else, which the CBA does.
Well, it's so drastic now. I mean,
I think it's too much. I really
example
do.
Is last week's rain delay,
mm-hmm.
you know,
right.
with the OTA day. And so they actually, the lightning starts popping around. They go in back into the stadium, and they're looking to try to pick it up whenever they can, wet weather permitting. So they call to find out exactly what the rules are and the guidelines.
That's ridiculous.
And if they didn't use the time allotted on the field that day, then they lost it. They couldn't, right. like, say, okay, tomorrow, hey, we're going to pick it back up again. And they had to be able to get it in that day, but they had to do it within a certain amount of
That's
time
crazy.
That the players were at the facility.
Right,
so
you're talking to Gus,
dumb.
And he's waiting and, you know, would say, hey, can we get on by 2:25? If we can't, we got to get out of here.
Yeah, they got to get them out
it
of
it. It is ridiculous.
Got to get them out of the building.
It's stupid. And so I don't like it. Limit the number of how much contact, limit the number of days, all that time as far as when you start the offseason
well,
program.
Tony, there's
but
gotta,
the practice time is stupid.
There's got to be a little
it's
bit
not good for the players.
More common sense.
Yes.
But unfortunately, there are some coaches out there that don't believe in applying common sense.
I disagree that you would have coaches being on their field for 4 hours. I just don't – 5 hours. I don't think it would happen because coaches are smart enough that you get a the law of diminishing returns.
I'm not giving
Here's
them that
the
much
thing.
Credit.
You'd like to limit the coaches, but you don't want to limit the players who want to do the extra work.
Yeah, that's but the dilemma.
The ones who
want hard.
I would err on the fact of saying, listen – you have 10 days, manage it.
There's
out there
a there's a
want.
Way to do it and still have protections.
And,
we're
not doing it right now.
No.
All right, that'll do it. Jaguars this week over. Have a great night, everybody.